Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a topic that often puts people to sleep in high school biology.
I think I remember that class.
But if you actually look at the mechanics of it, it's kind of mind-blowing. We're talking about carbohydrates.
But not in the, you know, diet sense. We aren't talking about cutting carbs here.
No, not at all. We're looking at these molecules as molecular architecture.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's how nature uses the same basic Lego blocks to build just everything.
Everything from the quick energy you need to run for a bus
to the armored shell of a beetle. It's the same starting point.
So that's our mission today. We want to unpack how these tiny, tiny changes in atomic arrangement, we're talking about flipping one little group of atoms, can mean the difference between a potato and a tree trunk.
It's all in the geometry.
Okay, so let's start at the very beginning, the basics, carbohydrate.
Right. Carbon plus water. It's got that simple chemical formula, CH2R.
And depending on what is how many carbons you have, you get different things.
Exactly. You have three carbon sugars, which are, you know, little intermediates in metabolism. Then five carbon sugars, which form the backbone of DNA.
And the big one, the six carbon sugars.
Glucose.
Yeah.
But even that isn't so simple, is it? Because glucose has two different forms.
Isomers, right. Alpha and beta.
Yep. They have the exact same chemical formula, CH12O6. The only difference, the only one, is at the first carbon.
So what's the difference? How does it look?
Well, think of it this way. In alpha glucose, you have a little hydroxyl group, an OH, pointing down.
Okay.
In beta glucose, that same group is pointing up. It's flipped. That's it.
And that microscopic flip is really the key to everything we're going to talk about.
It dictates biological destiny. It's the difference between fuel and armor.
So one glucose molecule on its own isn't doing much. To build these bigger structures, you have to link them up.
Which you do through a condensation reaction. You take two of them, pull a water molecule out, and snap them together.
Creating what's called the glycosidic bond.
Right. And to break it, you just do the reverse. You add water back in hydrolysis.
And that's how we get things like maltose in seeds or lactose in milk.
Exactly. But then you get to sucrose, which is just table sugar, and it's sort of the odd one out.
Ah, right. Because of the way the glucose and fructose link up.
The bond itself actually locks away the reactive parts of both molecules. It's chemically hiding.
Which is why it fails the Benedict's test in the lab, isn't it? It won't turn that brick red color.
It won't. Not unless you first break that bond with some acid to free up the reactive ends.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's scale up. We've gone from one sugar to two. Now for the heavy lifters, polysaccharides.
This is where that fuel versus armor idea really comes into focus.
Let's start with fuel. In plants, that's starch.
Right. And starch is made of that alpha glucose we talked about, the one with the OH group pointing down. It lets the chain coil up into this really compact spiral. Perfect for storage.
But in animals, we use glycogen, not starch. It looks almost the same, but it's, what, more branched?
Much more branched. And that's not an accident. That branching is the entire point.
Because we need energy faster than a plant does.
Exactly. A plant doesn't need to run from a tiger. Animals have higher metabolic rates.
So more branches means more ends.
More ends for your enzymes to latch onto and start snipping off glucose for immediate energy. It's all about rapid release.
That's brilliant. Okay, so that's the fuel. Now let's flip the molecule, literally. Let's talk about armor.
This is beta glucose's time to shine, the one with the OH group pointing up.
And because of that upward pointing group, you can't just link them in a simple chain, can you?
You can't. To form a bond, you have to flip every second glucose molecule completely upside down, 180 degrees.
So instead of a coil, you get a dead straight line, a rigid rod.
A perfectly straight, rigid chain. And these chains can lie parallel to each other.
And then they form hydrogen bonds between the chains.
Yes. They cross-link into these incredibly strong cables called microfibrils. That's cellulose. That's what makes wood strong.
And that same principle is used for chitin, right? The stuff in insect shells.
Almost identical structure. Long, straight chains from beta glucose, that 180-degree flip, the hydrogen bonds. But there's one little twist.
It's got an extra chemical group attached.
It has an acetylamine group. Basically, it's a little piece derived from an amino acid tacked on.
Which makes it strong, but also lightweight and waterproof.
It's nature's high-performance composite material. You take cellulose, add one little group, and you've gone from a plant cell wall to a beetle's exoskeleton.
So just to recap, we started with a single sugar, flipped one tiny part of its geometry, and from that we got everything from the energy in our food to the shell of a crab.
It really is molecular architecture at its most elegant.
It is. Which leads me to a final thought for you to chew on. Since chitin is so structurally similar to the cellulose in, say, celery, just with that one extra group, Why do we culturally see plant fiber as food, but an insect shell as an edible waste?
Biologically speaking, they're practically cousins.
Something to think about. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
We'll catch you next time.